So good to see everybody. We are, I like to say, like Steve said, 2017. I remember when I was born. I don't really remember that. I remember shortly after I was born. When you said 2000 seemed like a long time into the future. And I remember when, do you remember Y2K and everybody was kind of panicked about all the computers crashing in the whole world? And I at that time I thought, you know, the coolest thing would be in Japan strikes midnight, goes dark. China goes dark. Then across Asia and Europe, it start every hour the section goes dark. And then by the time it got here, people would be in such a panic. It would be the monster coming after them, right? Didn't happen. So, you know, but you know what? It's exciting to think about what could have been. And you know what? That's kind of what 2016 is now. It's what could have been. But we're looking forward to 2017. In fact, I was looking at our Created to Celebrate logo and realized, hey, we need to change this thing. There we go. So this is our last week with the Created to Celebrate. And I was thinking about, you know, each week we've kind of talked about different cultural celebrations. And one that I thought was kind of interesting was for us, that might fit into somewhat of our culture and thinking about this feast that we have today. It's the New Year's celebration, and it's kind of exemplified by, for the United States, I think Times Square, New York City, and that's like the big deal, right? And I think it's kind of interesting that the first New Year's celebration at Times Square was between 1904 and 1905. The reason, there may have been a celebration at that spot before, but that spot was not called Times Square until 1904. It's when the New York Times moved into that building that you see there with all the thing where the ball drops. The New York Times moved to that building in 1904, and then they renamed. The square before was called the Long Acre Square, and it had been named that in the 1870s. Before that, there was no name. And so they changed the name in 1904, shortly after 1904 turned into 1905. Let's see. Oh, there you can see it a little bit better. It's kind of pixelated. And then I don't know if in 1904, the New York Times only stayed there till 1913, and then they moved away. But the name of the square stuck. So it's obviously. Then this one was from last night. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, wow, you know what? Who would have thought in 1904/5 that you could be in San Diego and just have a picture of the night before that pretty much for free and show it in San Diego a few hours later after the events. So it's a lot of things have happened. Now, in between, there's been other New Year's celebrations. And so this one, I want to give you, like, when TV came out, they started having TV celebrations. And I have just kind of lost control here, so I'm not sure what's going on, but we'll try this again. The first TV New Year's celebration that I've heard of was in between 49 to 50. It was right after the war. TV, it just became a thing. And there was a New Year's Eve special that lasted from 11:45 p.m. to 12:05 a.m., and it was hosted by a ventriloquist and his dummy. And I forgot their names, but I think that the dummy did the countdown, which, you know, makes it way more interesting and exciting. So maybe we go to the next slide. I had this other video of kind of mid-century. Like, okay, we had the 1904, 1905, kind of what it looked like, 2016, 17, what that looked like. How about in the 50s? Let's go ahead with this.
You are cordially invited to our gala New Year's Eve midnight show. Yes, sir, we're throwing a wonderful party to top all the good times you've ever had on New Year's Eve. And you're invited to join us in the fabulous fun. Our screen will be bursting with New Year hilarity in one of the greatest joyous screen programs ever assembled to welcome a brand new year. So join us in a roof-raising celebration to top them all. Our gay, unrestrained grand welcome to 1954. Our Gala New Year's Eve Midnight Show, Thursday, December 31st. Yes, our old friend is fading into the past with his pack of unforgettable memories. He's bidding goodbye to you and me. So a fond farewell to 53. And now, get ready to let out a roar of joyous welcome for 54. It's almost time. Get set to cheer. Just a second to go, and he'll be here. So let's all shout out a big Happy New Year! Here's wishing you all good luck, good health, a good time, and a Happy New Year 1954!
I picked out that year because all that was going on before I was born. I had nothing to do with any of that. It was I was born in 55, so hey, that was way before my time. And anyhow, so I thought that the whole thing, you know, the feast today kind of ties in with this. It's the Feast of Trumpets, which is called Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year. And this is the feast that's celebrated in the... It's kind of funny to me because... Well, let's just do this and I'll explain what's funny about it. The feast, Rosh Hashanah, means literally like the head of the year. So it's the beginning or the head of the year is what that literally means. So it's the new year. But it's the secular new year. So let's look at the text here. Leviticus 23:23-25. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blasts of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord." And so this was this feast. And this feast is the Jewish New Year. But it's kind of interesting to me that in verse 24 it says, saying in the seventh month. So normally I think of like, first of the year would be the first month, but here's how you think of it. Abib, I think, is what we call April, and that month that falls, or Nisan, it's that time, that's the first month by the offerings of, when they talk about the Passover, and the first week, it's the first month. It's the first month in the religious calendar. This is the first month in the secular calendar, and it's kind of, if to put a parallel, here's what I would say, is we have New Year's Day is today. But then in September or August or September, we start, the school starts the new year. And a lot of businesses, they have their fiscal year that starts at this whatever period of time. They can set whatever date they want, and that's the new year for them. So that's kind of the sense in which you had, there's throughout the New Old Testament, there's several different new years, and this is the secular new year. This is a new year that would be, certain things would be celebrated. One is I did borrow a horn from Joe here to see. This is a, and I also think it's kind of interesting because when I think of horn, I think of like something made out of brass, but this is actually like made out of a horn. And so they blow these. I'm going to have a guy blowing this in a second. But this new year, the Rosh Hashanah or the head or the beginning of the year, this was a coronation day. So whenever a king came, it came time to be a king, they would blow the horn on that day. This would be the day they would do coronation. It was also carried with it that it's the judgment. If there's a judgment, and that would happen on this, the blowing of trumpets. If you look in Revelation, especially in the Old Testament, it talks about this. But in the New Testament, in Revelation, you have the blowing of the trumpets and then the different trumpet judgments on the country. And then you also have, this would be a day of remembrance. And I think in this sense, we celebrate, I think it's a good thing to think of as our New Year's. And that's kind of the sense I wanted to go with it, is it's a day of remembrance, a day of, look, 2016 had these events. And I'm sure for everybody in this room, some of them were really good. Some of them, stuff you'd just as soon forget about. Some of them are things that are really, oh, that was so great that this happened. And some of the things are like, oh, man. I can't wait for that to end, or I was so glad when it was over. And so part of that's how life is. You have, and I think these points, like the new year, it's a time to kind of reflect back on last year. One of the things that our family has always done, well, always our family, Mary Lynn and I started in 1977 when we got married, so I guess it has always been our family, is at the end of the year, somebody, or that year when we got married, somebody gave us a blank book. So then at the end of the year, we wrote down kind of one, like some thoughts about the previous year, 1977, get to it. And we have several books now, and it's kind of a day, and it has its moment of going back and taking a look and remember, wow, I remember, or sometimes you know how you have something happen and you're like, when did that ever happen? And you kind of flip through the book and you go, oh, that was 1982. Oh, that's cool. It's just kind of a, it's kind of like a little history of our family. Just that's, and yeah, some years it was a little bit more written in it, some years less. We have four children who are now all adults. You know, oh, it was a great year. I'm looking forward to the next year. I kind of felt like that was a little bit of a smart aleck answer at some points in life. When it, the first year it's cool, the second year, the third year, then it becomes a tradition. And, anyhow, but those things and taking some time and kind of looking back, well, what about last year? What about it was that you could look forward to? What are things I want to build on? What are things I want to change? Where am I going to go? What's going to happen? I think having this point of take a stop, take a look, it's a good time. The part of the reason that this first week of the seventh month is chosen is, according to Jewish tradition, that's the creation, the birth of the world happened on that day. So that's where this day, that's why they picked this, or at least that's their tradition. It doesn't really say that in the Bible anywhere, but that's the Jewish tradition on that, which I think is always a little bit interesting. Let's see if I can go back here. Now, to go along with this whole thought of the trumpet and the trump of God, and what God is doing and how God wants to speak, how he uses these memorials and how he uses these in 1 Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not receive those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And you know, if you've experienced, if you have a loved one that knew Christ and they passed away, you know what? This is a word of encouragement. I like that when the Lord will descend with the shout of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And that's kind of this whole idea of the judgment, the coming, the announcement, the king. You get the idea that, look, the king is coming, you blow the trumpet. The announcement of the judgment is coming, blow the trumpet. You get if the day has arrived, blow the trumpet. Remember the past, blow the trumpet. And it kind of culminates in this one event. I have a video of a guy blowing one of the Ready? What the things that happened in your life in 2016, whether they were things you really enjoyed or things you didn't really like, but you know what? God can use every single one of them. If you felt like you suffered, you cried, you in my opening prayer, I was in, let's pray that we would reflect Christ in all we do this year, like something along those lines, right? Now, the thing is, a lot of times we try to figure out, well, what does that mean? It's kind of like, I want to pray for patience. Well, how do you get patience? The only way you can get patience is not get what you want when you want it, which then is like an irritation to you. Well, I want this, and I want, you know, it's the old, I want patience, and I want it now. You know, well, this is how you develop it, right? You don't build. So you want a chance to shine for Jesus? You know what that means? That God's going to take you to the place that you're very uncomfortable. And then he's giving you an opportunity in that spot to reflect Christ. If it's like, oh, it's not hard to reflect Christ in the time of blessing. It's hard. When people see Christ is when you're in the position that Christ was in. People didn't recognize how great Jesus was. And even at the time, a lot of people didn't recognize it. when he went through the whole crucifixion. They didn't recognize how, then you realize, wait a second, he's on the cross, he's dying, he's being crucified, he's being mistreated, he's having everything, the most unjust punishment possible, and he says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And we want to reflect Christ. What does that mean? That means, look, when he that's why he says, look, take up your cross daily. That's not like, well, you know what? I just want to have everything is going to be like, you know, sugar plums and daisies in my life, right? It's going to be, no, how do you reflect Christ? What does that mean? It means you identify with the cross. It means there's things that happen in your life you don't like, that you don't want, that you wish didn't happen and wish never would have happened. And now you have an opportunity to reflect Christ. And to show what Jesus does in a life. Look back on this year. One of the things we're going to do is take a few minutes and as we're going to think and kind of, I want to review the Created to Celebrate and kind of like how they all kind of play in a little bit. Look, we have the trumpets, which is today, the new year, the day of kind of reflection. Then we had the Day of Atonement we talked about, which is really confession, mourning for sin, recognizing that Jesus would send this, or that this Lamb would come that would carry away our sin, and realize, hey, that's Jesus. He came. A time of reflecting on how good God has made your life, and how you, this is a time to remember. Most of these have like a remembrance element to them. All the rest of them. At the beginning of the world or whatever. But it's just this year, and we'll reflect and think about it, and we'll celebrate we made it. We'll look forward to how we can go ahead. The Day of Atonement is, look, it's not really a celebration. It's a remembrance. It's a sacrifice. It's remembering the sacrifice that God is going to make for us. The tabernacles are, wow, remember we were in the desert? Remember we didn't have a place? Remember we had that manna, was that horrible bread, or the bread that was kept us alive? A lot of times when I cook around the house, and sometimes I've had, when you have four kids, and especially when they're all children, I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but some of them, sometimes you'll make something and one of them, it's not their favorite. We always had a rule, you can't say I don't like it. You could just say, this isn't really my favorite. That meant I hate it. But you couldn't say I hate it. You could just say it's not my favorite. So one of the things I realized is there were four, and everybody had their different preferences. So I kind of used to say, hey, you know what? Here's the standard. Will it keep you alive? Yes. Go ahead and eat it. It'll be fine. That's what you're shooting for. Will it keep you alive? And that manna crossed that threshold. But eating it every day for 40 years, people were a little bit tired of it. And then at the tabernacles, you know, then they build a little hut and then eat special food and remember how it was and rejoice about how it is. And it's a Thanksgiving type celebration. And the unleavened bread was, you know what, it's a remembrance of you were in Egypt. You needed to get out of town fast. You don't have time for your bread to rise. Make some bread. And when you throw out the leaven is a picture of throwing out sin. And the unleavened bread is a picture of not this. We don't have time. We're in a hurry. And we are also, we've thrown out the sin. And we're trying to have purity. And that's also a picture of Jesus, who's the bread of life without sin. And then there was Passover, which is the next thing, the Passover here. And then now is a remembrance of, remember when the angel came through, the angel of death? And if we put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and he saw that blood, then you know what? The angel passed over and our firstborn didn't die. And yet the Egyptians, they didn't do that, and all the firstborn died in the Passover. And this Passover lamb was another picture of Jesus, the lamb that was slain for us. And then they talked about the first fruits, which comes right after that. And okay, so now you have this first fruits, the first grain that came from the winter slash spring harvest. And this grain is ready, and they toast a little bit, and you have that, and you celebrate. Look, here's the first fruits. And this is the picture of Jesus as the first fruits of the resurrection. And the one who he rose from the dead, he died with this humble death that was unjust, undeserved. But then he conquered the grave, and he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And then you had the weeks, which is what we call Pentecost. And this was a picture of, you know, it literally at the feast was, okay, the first fruits, you have a first few bits of grain that you can eat. That then 7 weeks later, now the whole harvest is in. And you rejoice that you've got this the whole crop, which is a picture of the first fruits, Jesus raised from the dead. And then the Pentecost is the Spirit coming to everyone, and really a picture of the final resurrection of all of us and all the people who are going to be resurrected. And then there was the weekly celebration, the Sabbath. And it's like, you know what? That's a feast that's really about trusting God and rejoicing in God. And God saying, hey, take a day off. And you believing God enough to say, okay, God, thank you. And you know, it's so hard. I was listening to a guy talking yesterday on a radio show, and he was saying that they were talking about the idea of slowing down, how less is more. So one guy, he had been in when the internet first started, he had some kind of a startup company that was bought out by somebody else, and he made $10, $15 million. And then he was 28 years old and could retire. And then he said he bought a 3,500 square foot house, and he was this and this and fancy car. Then he said he was like plagued with this. Is this the right? I have money to spend, but is this the right thing to spend it on? So now he's designed these houses that are way more economical use of space. And he was talking about this. Another guy was saying how we live in a speed up world of speed up, get this, get that, boom, boom, boom. And when I talked about this, I remember Maria said she was happy that I confessed to everyone that this is a struggle I face of not wanting to slow down. I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room that has that issue. And, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, you can do this, this, this. And then this one, I was listening to a guy telling the story, and he was saying that it got to where he was like, speed up, boom, 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 get everything done, check the boxes, hit the thing, boom, boom, send an email, you know, do this all day. Then it came time he was going to read his son a bedtime story. So he said it was, you know, the Cat in the Hat or One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish or whatever, you know, a book like that. And he said his kid knew the whole book, and he would skip lines and skip pages. And the son would go, nah, you're just skipping the book. Like, what are you thinking? You're like, come on. You left out a part, you know. And then the dad was saying, well, and he didn't want to slow down and just sit and read the whole book. Then he said he saw a thing that said, an ad probably came across his phone or something that said 1 minute bedtime stories. He's like, woohoo. And then he said, honestly, he feels like he should cringe at that. But at the time, he said, wow, this is what I'm looking for, a one-minute bedtime story. And it's like, then he said, it was kind of like, then his first thought was that, then he said, his second thought was, you know, really, what's the point of this? And you can't, things take time. And we move from industrial, like, stamp-out products to informational, boom, 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 to other, whatever we're doing, it's faster and faster to try to get more and more done in less and less time. And that's, I like it. It's my drug of choice. But you know what? But really, the Bible pictures life more along the lines of an agricultural. Like you plant seeds and you can't really speed it up. You wait. You know, well, I talked to my brother the other day. He was up in Montana, and it was 15 below zero for the cool, but it was going to warm up to one. So that was nice. And then, you know, practically pretty balmy there, that 1 degree. And then, but you know what? For as much as you want to speed up tomato production, there's no sense planting them in 1 degree weather. It just will not work. We can get away with some down here. They aren't going to produce much if you plant them this early, just even our little cool weather we have. But there's just something about, oh, wow, you want to grow this? You're going to have to wait. Well, I want to do it now. Well, you can maybe build a hothouse, but in 0 degree weather, it's still not going to be good enough. You can't do that. You can't. And part of what happens, I think, with the Sabbath is a recognition that, you know, there's a time for everything. And there's a time to take a minute and rest and look to God and hear what He has to say. And part of our, and this is all about trusting God. Look, I think all these are trumpets. Hey, what's God got for you this year? What's He going to do? What's His plan for you this year? The Day of Atonement is recognizing who Jesus is. The tabernacles, hey, thankful for what God's done in our life. The unleavened bread, man, get rid of the sin. You don't have time for it. The Passover, man, when we go under the blood, we're safe. The first fruits, man, Jesus rose. And this gives us a promise that that not only did He rise, but we will rise too. And the week, so the Pentecost, that the Spirit comes and guides and directs. And one day there'll be a giant crop of believers who, when they hear the sound of this horn, the voice of the archangel, they'll rise from the dead to be with Him forever. And then the Sabbath, day by day, week by week, trusting God. So I was kind of thinking about this. The new year, we're here. New year, 2017. I want to say it 10 times in a row so I don't keep saying 2016. Or the bad one is like, when my birthday's in April, and if on my birthday I'm still writing 2016, like somebody needs to slap me. But, you know, we have a new year. It's a great time to look, where are we going? What are we doing? What's our future? Where are we headed? What do you want to do this year? Where are we going to go? I think God's got amazing things planned for us this year. I think that as we look forward and go, wow, 2017, I'm like amazed I'm here. And you know what? God has amazing thing. And in a year from today, we're going to be going, wow, it's already the end of the year. How can that happen? And I think it's good to have these, like, to me, life is so much of a stream of flowing that you need every so often a checkpoint that says, hey, let's kind of evaluate, where are we? A year is a great checkpoint, but then sometimes, you know, you kind of look in the morning. It's a good day. It's a new day. And how am I going to use this day? I mean, I can go to week, two, month. We have different stop points that we can take a look and go, wow, what am I going to do today? Because at the end of the year, I'd like to look back at the end of the year and say, this is what I did for the Lord. Lord, what do you want? Let's look to Him. That's who really has the plans and the directions for where we need to go this year. Lord, what do you want for my life this year? Where do you want me to be? Should I go someplace? Should I stay here? Who do I talk to? Who do I help? Who do I look? Do you want me to go to Mexico? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Do you want me to bring some food to give to the kids in Mexico and their families? I don't know. Ask God. Well, look, here's a schedule. I'll arrive at 8. We'll be home in the evening. I've had long border waits, but usually I'll be home. I'm pretty sure we'll be back by then. You know what? It's going to be a great day. If you can go, go. If not, if you don't go, that's cool. But here's what you do. Is you ask God, Lord, do you want me to go? And you listen for His voice. And then if you're like, well, nope. Nobody tied a rock, a note around a rock and threw it through my window, so I'm not sure what He's saying, okay? Well, what you do is then say, well, Lord, is there some reason I shouldn't go? Is there something? Is there something you have for me? Do you have something here? Is this something, maybe you ask yourself a question like this. Well, Lord, is this something that if I do this, I'm going to feel bad I did it? Or is this something that if I do this, I'll feel good I did it? If it's this, well, then, Lord, is there a reason I shouldn't go? If you can't go, look, you can't go. That's cool. For whatever reason. If that's what the Lord's telling you. If you go, well, could I bring some rice, beans, whatever's on this list here, right? Chicken broth, bouillon powder. oatmeal, white flour, cereal. Could I bring any of that? If you can, great. Maybe that's what God's part. I don't think God's part is probably going to be for all of us to pack up and all of us drive to Mexico in a couple weeks. Might be. That's not really what I'm thinking, but it could be. And I'd be happy if it did. On the other hand, what can I do? Maybe it's like, hey, you know what? I just need to be praying. But what could I give? What could I do? How could I help? What could I do? Just ask God to show you. And I think if we go through our year with that attitude, it's going to be amazing what God will do in our lives. If you just go to him and say, Lord, what do you want? How can I live for you today? What can I do this year and this day to glorify you? And just take the next step. And that's really all you can do anyhow. So just do that. And then kind of keep in mind, this whole thing of the trumpet is at the time of judgment. And part of, I think, what helps is as we evaluate, well, Lord, what do you want from me this year? What do you want from me this day? Is to go, well, you know, one day I'm going to be standing before the Lord. And I'm going to give account. The Bible says every one of us will give account of himself to God. And I want to ask God, and when God says, hey, what'd you do here? I mean, he says rest. That's called the Sabbath, right? But he says, but then, well, why? I wanted to glorify you. Well, you know, maybe you made a mistake. We all do. There's even a saying called no one's perfect. You might have heard it. You probably lived it, since no one's perfect. But you know what? Remember, whatever I'm going to do, there's a day coming where I'm going to give account to God. And let that guide your thing and kind of help you set some goals of what you want to accomplish this year. And this day, this week, this month. What is it that God has for you? What is it that God has for you as an individual? What is it that God has for me as an individual? What is it that God has for us as a church? How do we fit in? What can we do? Where can we go? How are we going to take this day of the first of the year, the blowing of the shofar, the day of remembrance, of remembering the past, thinking about the future, and then where are we going? And let's ask ourselves and ask God to help us set these mile markers in our life. I know that I'm going to be starting next week a new series of sermons. I do sermons up here almost every week. I'll be doing most of them for the next year probably, Lord willing. We don't want to get presumptuous here or anything. But I'm planning on starting a few messages based on the last verse in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, now abide these three, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So I'm kind of trying to figure out a way to give some Old Testament lessons. What I'll be doing is I'm going to do four messages based on Old Testament characters on hope, faith, and love, or faith, hope, and love. And to kind of take a minute, because I think as we start the new year, and we start with faith, we go to hope, and we end up with love, because the greatest of these is love. And then that'll lead us right into Easter. So, you know what? As you're here today, what I want to do is, we're going to take a minute, we have communion set up, we're going to take a minute to do communion. And I'd like to have you kind of like, as we do this, take a couple of seconds, and it talks about in the passage on communion in 1 Corinthians, about reflect on your life, reflect on who God's made you to be, reflect on what God wants for you, and then ask him to, as you take the elements, the unleavened bread and the juice, to go, well, Lord, I remember your body, I remember your blood that was shed for me, and I want to live and dedicate my life in a way that it's lived for you. And Lord, you show me what that means. Let's read the text. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Until He comes. The trumpet is, the Feast of Trumpets are a day of remembrance. And this is a remembrance. And they're a day of, the trumpets point to Jesus coming again. And so it's a day of remembrance until He comes. And this is a remembrance until He comes. So let's pray. And then the worship team will come and have some, we'll sing. And then what we'll do is, if you're not used to having, we'll do that. And so let's pray. Father, I thank You. I praise You for Your goodness. Thank You for who You are. Thank You that we have days to remember, and that we have this day that marks out a new year is starting. And Lord, may we take it seriously, and Father, just take some time and evaluate our last year, 2016, and look to You, Father, for direction and guidance in the new year, 2017. We pray, Father, that we would reflect Your glory, Your grace, Your joy, Your love, Your peace, Your hope. Lord, that we would reflect You in our lives. We pray, Father, that we would see things that happen in our lives not through the lens of just difficulties or hardships, but we would see them as opportunities to serve You, to love You, to wait on You, to reflect You. And Lord, may this year be a year of great advancement for Your kingdom. Father, here in our little portion of it and throughout the world, Father, may many, many people come to know Jesus Christ. May we grow in our love and knowledge of You. And Father, may You be glorified. We thank You for what You're doing, what You have done, and what You will do. And we ask You to just to bless us and use us. In Jesus' name, amen.